Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, Why the Bible Was Written. And we've sought to bring out that the Bible answers that question itself. We have already considered why the Bible was written, to reveal Christ, Psalm 40, particularly, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will. And then we have already considered what that we might believe on Christ. And that is indeed important, not only to see Christ, but to believe on him. And today, we wish to consider the subject that we may know that we are saved. John writes in his first epistle, as well as in his gospel, about the word belief and about believing God. We're going to confine our thoughts to the first epistle of John as recorded in the scriptures. And he opens up that epistle with these words, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that eternal life was Christ in his own person. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then he goes on to say, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And all throughout this epistle of John, there are the things that will affect our joy. Now there's joy in this epistle for the dear child of God, and there's joy for the dear unsaved who cannot feel yet that they are saved. And we're going to read about that next. In the fifth chapter of this first epistle of John, we read these words. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's not hope, but that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There is such a thing as knowing that you're saved. God wants us to know that. And he's writing these things. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's fit this wonderful verse in its context. I think it will really accentuate the verse. Verse 9 of this fifth chapter of 1 John, we read there, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then our verse, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me encourage anyone who does not feel yet that he can say that he's saved. Let me encourage you by saying this. You may know, and please don't settle for anything less than a positive knowledge you're saved. You don't need to. The Word of God will assure you. And you will know, you will have the witness in yourself, the joy and the peace that comes with knowing that you've trusted the Lord, believed him, believed that he died for your sins, believed that he loved you to that great extent, and believed that his words are true when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life, everlasting life. And certainly the Lord does say that in the scriptures. Let's think now a little bit, if you will, please, of the children that his children might be full of joy. All right, now, in this matter of the joy for the dear unsaved, they're not saved by asking God to forgive their sins. The child of God has that privilege. He has the privilege of confessing his sin. We read in the first chapter of this epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But when we confess those sins, we are assured that those sins will be given to us, forgiven to us as the children of God. Now, the unsaved do not get saved by confessing their sins. This is the child of God's privilege of confessing his sins to his heavenly Father. He gets saved by accepting grace. Do you remember what we read in the fifth chapter? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We get life by accepting Christ. And all the sins that he died for on the cross are forgiven. It's not a matter of asking for forgiveness. It's a matter of accepting forgiveness from the Lord himself and coming to him and telling him, you're my Savior. You died for me. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth. That is for the individual person who does not know the Lord to come to the Lord in his own way. But trusting the Lord brings that full assurance and that joy that John is speaking about in the first chapter. The assurance of salvation comes only after we realize the sin question was settled at the cross. I feel I must tell a story. Years ago, I was invited to speak at a camp, youth camp, down on the border of Arizona and New Mexico. There was a young man that came to the camp that year. Actually, that camp was a ways into the state of New Mexico. That doesn't concern you, but I want to correct myself nevertheless. To this camp came a Swedish boy by the name of Odin Engelking. He was a student at the University of Minnesota, and he and his buddy traveled all over the states, and they happened to come into this territory at the time of the Bible camp, and they came. Odin listened very, very carefully. I was concerned with Odin. He was such a wonderful person. Okay, now on the last Friday night of the camp, we had a campfire, and Odin got up, and I thought, oh, what is Odin going to say? And Odin said, I want to tell you something. My buddy and I, his partner and him, we have gone all over the United States. We have set our goals to visit very important things in the United States of America. But after I visited those places, in every instance, there was an emptiness inside of me, in my soul. And I want to tell you people here at the camp tonight, gathered around this campfire, that emptiness has been filled this week. Oh, I got to Odin, and I says, Odin, do you feel and understand that Christ died on the cross for your sins? And he says, I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. And then he corrected himself. I know that Jesus Christ died on that cross. Well, he was really voicing the positive aspect of this verse here, the 13th verse of the 5th chapter of John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have everlasting life. And then I tell him, then I ask him again another question. After he told me he believed that Jesus was on the cross for him, I said, Odin, can you feel now that you can say that you're saved? And he says, I believe I'm saved. And then he corrected himself again. He says, I know I'm saved. Oh, that was good news. He voiced the truth of the 13th verse of the 5th chapter of John's first epistle. I know that I'm saved. He had believed God, and he had the assurance within himself. Now, there is a very, very sad sequel. 3 weeks later, he was in Albuquerque, and he went to the airport to take a plane to go back to Minneapolis to go to the University of Minnesota. The summer was up. During the trip to the airport, his car suffered an accident and he was killed. 3 weeks later, after he had voiced his confidence in God, he was in heaven. He went home, but he went home up in heaven. Oh, aren't you glad he came to that camp? I can't thank God enough that that young man, in his travels and his wanderings, came to that camp and found out about the Lord Jesus. The positive element that he was saved. Christ has died for our sins, according to the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 15:3. We've got God's word for it. The debt of sin is already paid. The work that saves is done. All we've got to do is to accept it. And when we do, then our heart is filled with the joy that John is speaking of in the fourth verse of the first chapter, that your joy might be full. So there's joy in this for the dear unsaved as well as for the saved person. Now, after you get saved, then if you sin against your father, you have the right and the responsibility to confess those sins. That's Christian ground. The unsaved ground is to accept Christ, and then you know that you're saved. Now, there are several common mistakes made in the matter of being saved. Some feel that we are saved by being good and doing good works. I felt that way once, and I joined the church to get peace, and I didn't get it. Incidentally, I didn't realize that my responsibility to Christ, to receive Him. I thought if I joined that church and did good works, I'd be saved. That's not the way to be saved. This never brings peace, because you never know when you've done enough. That joining a good church and reforming our lives will bring us peace? No, it won't bring us peace at all. That puts the cart before the horse. That brings sincere and earnest earnest will to earn God's favor before you're even His own. And certainly after we're saved, yes, live to please God. But getting on that religious treadmill and think that you can walk far enough and fast enough to earn salvation, it does not work. It's already earned. Christ earned it with His sufferings on the cross for you and for me. Does that positive element of being saved grip your soul from John, 1 John 5:13? These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful truths that we have been discovering in John's gospel and his epistle. I give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.